Well, as I said yesterday, we, and again, I highly suggest that you look at the interview and that you get the books. Mark Bailey, Samantha Bailey, The Final Pandemic, An Antidote to Medical Tyranny. Another book that appears to be interesting, I've not read yet. Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys and Roman Bistrianic is be my best guess in terms of pronouncing his name. But talks about 60 years of working on flu vaccines, unable to develop vaccines that reduce mortality rates. This is also from Exposé News. The book was published in 2013. 10 years later, after more experience and research, the authors released a 10th anniversary edition, to which the authors added more than 200 pages, more than 350 references. And again, these people are really documenting stuff well. The original book that was done by Mark Bailey was 400 pages, 1,400 references. This is shorter, but it still has over 400 references in it. Dissolving Illusions details facts and figures from long-overlooked medical journals, books, newspapers, and other sources. Using myth-shattering graphs, the book shows that vaccines, antibiotics, and other medical interventions are not responsible for the increases in lifespan and the decline in mortality from infectious diseases. If the medical profession could systematically misinterpret and ignore key historical information, the question must be asked, what else have they ignored? What else have they misinterpreted today? This is one of the reasons why the Baileys went upstream and started questioning, all right, so what is your evidence? You know, show us the isolated COVID thing. Well, we don't have it. Christine Massey and others, we don't have it, but this is the way we do it. Wait a minute, do you do that with all the viruses? Oh, well, then you don't follow the scientific method with any of the viruses, do you, or any of the diagnoses here? But there's a lot. There's information that is extracted from this Dissolving Illusions in terms of various diseases attributed to viruses that is also in here. You see, when they tell you, well, our vaccines cured polio, our vaccines cured smallpox and so forth. Did they? Did they get rid of measles? You know, even RFK Jr. even will push that out. He goes, okay, so they got rid of chickenpox and measles and so forth, but at what cost? Because now look at how certain things like autism have soared in our society and many other conditions because of injecting things directly into your bloodstream. As I think it was Samantha Bailey said in that interview, you know, when you inject something into somebody's body, and this has been a long-term criticism of vaccines, it's very different. I think both of them were talking about if you ingest snake poison, it's not going to harm you. Your body will take care of it if you swallow it. But if you put it into your bloodstream, you're going to die, you know, that type of thing. You inject something directly into the bloodstream, your body doesn't have defenses against it. Other things that are in the atmosphere, you know, if you're, as you breathe in, especially if you're not a mouth breather, you're going to have a lot of different things that are going to, in your body that are going to filter out things, your skin and other stuff like that. Anyway, it wasn't long ago. This is from the book. It wasn't long ago when infections plagued the Western world. Smallpox, scarlet fever, measles, typhoid, diphtheria, whooping cough, other diseases, once considered to be a tragic part of life. Starting in the mid-1800s, there was a steady drop in the death from all these infectious diseases, decreasing by the mid-1900s to very low levels. The elimination of these diseases is one of the most amazing yet unsung public health revolutions in history. That journey from disease cesspool to our modern world is a tale of plagues and famine, crushing poverty and filth, lost cures, individual freedoms versus the might of the state, protests and arrests, and much more. Dissolving Illusions paints a historic portrait with quotes from the pages of long-overlooked medical journals, books, newspapers, and other sources to reveal a startling history that's been disregarded. And so when you look at what they show, you see that these things had disappeared. These things have disappeared, and they came and say, we cured it, right? This is exactly the same playbook that Trump and Fauci and Biden and all the rest of them said, oh, well, yeah, see, we cured COVID with our vaccines. It's like, no, it wasn't a COVID to start with. But then they take credit for having cured it. Bistrionic, Roman Bistrionic, briefly discussed the U.S. data on measles. The collection of data on measles began in 1900. By the time a vaccine was rolled out for measles in 1963, the measles mortality rate had already decreased by 98.6%. The vaccine came in way after the mortality rate had already dropped. So I was a child when that stuff came out. I didn't get it. My mom was skeptical of this stuff. She wasn't going to rush out and get the latest vaccine that had come off the, you know, just rolled out. And as I said so many times when I play that clip from Trump, oh, they got to get it, got to get the shot. It's going around. They really got to get the shot. It's like, no, you didn't get the shot. You didn't die. And you're denying people their medical and religious exemption over this, saying they got to get it? No. As a matter of fact, England began gathering data on measles in 1838. The mortality rate decreases gradually from an initial high and then significantly drops from the 1920s. From the mid-1900s, the measles mortality rate in England was virtually zero. As I've said so many times, all these people talking about, oh, well, this happened. Yeah, anything can happen. You know, you can die from freak accidents or anything. But I had never, ever heard of anybody getting measles and dying. And so they started vaccinating in 1968 in England, and by that point, they had almost a 100% decline. It was 99.8%, nearly 100%. Decline in mortality rate from measles. I had covered this many times before. There's been, before they started all this COVID nonsense and everything, there had been several different supposedly outbreaks of measles. Nobody died. And when they looked at the people, there was one in New York that involved four people, and they had all been vaccinated. All of them had determined, except for one, had determined that they'd been vaccinated twice, and that person wasn't sure. And yet, they all got it. You know, patient zero and the other three had all been vaccinated, and they still get what they identified as measles, whether it was or not. And they said, so by their own standards, their vaccine is not effective. But everybody said, but we don't have measles. Yeah, measles disappeared mid-20th century. We haven't had it, and it disappeared before the vaccines, but they take the credit for it. They did the same thing with whooping cough as well. Displaying the graph for a whooping cough, Bistrionic demonstrated that it was the same. The mortality rate was already very low before any vaccine campaigns. In the U.S., a vaccine for a whooping cough was introduced in the late 1940s. By that point, there was already a 92% decrease in mortality. In England, they began vaccinating in 1957. When they already had almost 100% decline in mortality rate, it was 99.7. Not only did the vaccines not contribute to reduced mortality, but data from Sweden conclusively shows that the whooping cough vaccines are ineffective. In 1978, examination showed that 84% of children who were verified to have the pertussis bacteria had previously received three doses of vaccine. But again, in the book, The Final Pandemic, they point out that the pertussis bacteria, this is a bacteria, it's not a virus, that when they try to, when they expose people to that particular bacteria, guess what? There's no difference in people who get whooping cough and people who don't get it. So that would tell you that's not the cause, right? There's no evidence. As a matter of fact, there's evidence that shows that it's not the cause of it. And yet, that's what they call it. whooping cough. They call it pertussis. Flu. Flu shows a similar pattern. The U.S. began vaccinating for flu in the late 1970s. By this time, there'd already been a 90% decrease in the flu mortality rate. There's no real decrease in the death rate from the flu after 40 years of vaccination. There was something else that was happening. And many of these things in the book, they talk about beriberi, a very difficult disease. One doctor believed that it was due to malnutrition. Oh, but he was immediately dismissed. No, we know that it's a virus, and we know that it's going to be cured by vaccine. Fortunately, they found that they could cure it with nutrition. It was a malnutrition disease, just like, you know, scurvy and vitamin C, something like that. So perhaps that is why these things were disappearing. And yet the virologists and the pharmaceutical industries took the credit for what had happened with all of that.
Of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets
publish
things that are true without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Break free from the usual script with The David Knight Show, a fresh perspective bringing you genuine insights on current events. But if the show is going to stay on the air, we'll need your continued support. Sharing the show, subscribing, and even just hitting the like button all help. And if you found our show helpful, please consider donating and becoming a part of a community that values the truth. Because independent, listener-funded news, untouched by corporate globalist agendas, is extremely important to our liberties.